Thank you very much, Jody, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. Joining us today, we have Daniel Martinez, Chief Financial Officer, Bertil Lindmark, Chief Scientific Officer, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Steve Lewington, Senior Director of Global Marketing. The event will start with a presentation that will be followed by a Q&A session. I now hand over to Daniel for the opening remarks.
Thank you, Jordi, and good morning, everyone. I'm glad to comment the financial results of the first quarter. Results were in line with our targets and guidance. Since the IPO, Almirall has consistently met its quarterly objectives, except in those few occasions in which we had to revisit our forecast due to unexpected legislative changes. Today, we are pleased to confirm the 2012 guidance if no additional austerity measures are implemented. Despite the challenging environment, Q1 sales were temporarily better than anticipated due to seasonal effects of the Easter, as well as the expansion of our international business, which has also contributed to sustain our gross margin. Important to highlight that international sales now account 57% of total versus 44% in Q1 2011. The company has achieved a positive net cash position, which provides both comfort in the fundamentals and a strategic flexibility looking forward. Free cash flow remains in good shape. All in all, we are facing the short and mid-term agenda without financial constraints. Lastly, the annual general meeting approved last week a scrip dividend of 18 euros of cents. This will allow to keep cash in the company and will provide a fiscally attractive opportunity to investors, especially considering the share price potential. Moving now to the P&L highlights. Sales erosion has been mitigated to almost 6% despite Spanish reforms and generic competition. Again, important to mention that our international business continues to grow and that now accounts 57% of total sales. Gross margin has been maintained in a very challenging environment thanks to the international expansion together with a very successful portfolio management. R&D is temporarily up due to a phasing effect of ongoing studies. We expect for 2012 a similar expense in absolute terms than in 2011. As predicted, sales and G&A is ramping up by 9% due to the commercial investments, and we expect that this percentage increase could be higher in the next quarters. Despite this, I would like to remark our organic sales and G&A continues to decline, but the overall expense is higher due to the necessary deployment of commercial resources for Aclidinium and Linaclotide. We believe that the expected positive tax effect of the quarter will be sustained until the end of the year and will contribute to protect our bottom line. As an R&D-driven company, we have substantial potential in our balance sheet in form of tax credits. Normalized net income is, as we expected, temporarily below guidance due to the calendar of events we expect in the forthcoming launches. Additionally, bear in mind, first half of 2011 was not affected by the healthcare reform approved in August 2011, and therefore the normalized income for the first half of 2012 will be temporarily below the guidance. Let's move into the balance sheet. A short comment. It remains very solid with a positive cash position. Inventories have improved due to the normalization of stock following the successful manufacturing concentration project. Accounts receivable are temporarily up due to the Easter effect and greater sales from our partners. It is expected to normalize this increase in the next quarters. As of March 31st, equity represented 60% of total assets. Moving to cash flow, we maintain a solid cash flow generation despite a substantially lower profit before taxes in a very challenging environment. The main key driver beyond the other adjustments versus the first quarter of 2011 is the down payment from Menarini. Investing activities have been lower than last year, and all things considered, free cash flow remains in a very healthy level. Important to mention the debt repayment done over the period of nearly 60 million euros. Please bear in mind that our current calendar of financial debt phases out at the end of 2012. So, wrapping up, results in line with expectations, solid financial fundamentals, and a steady cash flow generation. And again, 2012 guidance reiterated. Thank you, and now I'm handing over to Bertil.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. First, a regulatory update. We are progressing well with the regulatory files of both Aclidinium and Linaclotide.
In the U.S. in February, the Pulmonary Allergy Drugs Advisory Committee, the PADAC, voted 12-2 in favor of approving aclidinium. These recommendations, although not binding, will of course be considered by the FDA as they complete the review of the FDA of the NDA for aclidinium bromide. We anticipate receiving FDA feedback on the filing by the end of July. In Europe, the 180-day period of aclidinium assessment has been completed, and the CHMP opinion should be received in the near term. The EU process for linaclotide is also on track. This is a snapshot of the current pipeline status with no major changes versus February. Three projects led by aclidinium bromide and linaclotide are in approval phase, and we expect feedback during 2012. We have received positive CHMP opinion on 41002. Our aclidinium plus formoterol combo, Sativex in oncological pain, and the proprietary derma compound for non-melanoma skin cancer are in phase 3. They're also followed by three projects in phase 2. The key takeaway from our pipeline slide is the breadth of our respiratory portfolio and our emerging dermatology portfolio. Thank you all, and now over to Luciano.
Thank you, Bertil. Good morning to all of you. Let me start updating you on our new product cycle. We have launched six new products in the last 6 quarters, which are now rejuvenating our portfolio. These new products are growing contributors to our top line, with 56% growth versus the same period of 2011. The new products reached 50 million in 2011, or the equivalent to 6% of the sales of the year. We envision their contribution enlarged in the forthcoming quarters ahead of the launch of aclidinium and linaclotide. In the meantime, the strategically important derma franchise is showing an outstanding growth of 10% versus the same quarter of last year. When reviewing the figures, please bear in mind that under IFRS rules, the income from co-promotions of Combrisa, Bacedoxifen, Libertec, Roflumilast, and the agreement for Escitalopram in Italy are booked in other income and not in the sales line. As anticipated in our guidances, we have now successfully partnered aclidinium bromide with major players in the three key respiratory geographies. We also have signed in the first quarter of this year an agreement in a promising market like Korea with a top company there. As we speak, we are engaged in discussions with potential partners with the purpose of completing the commercialization of our products in the rest of the world. As per today, more than 80% of the total respiratory market potential is properly covered together with companies with presence in both primary and secondary care, as well as proven successes in market access. Although in some of these territories we have close competitors behind us, I would like to highlight that in the most valuable territory, the U.S., it is not the case, and some time will last before the next LAMA comes to the market. Almirall is preparing in our territories by completing our operative structure to be ready at the time of launch of aclidinium and linaclotide, our two main short-term key growth platforms in our attractive pipeline. We are preparing for these two unprecedented opportunities, sizing up capabilities in key European geographies through a stepwise approach. However, to minimize the risk and the investment, we are triggering the build-up of the operational resources to the path of concrete regulatory steps. We continue to prepare all the relevant pre-launch activities and the market access strategies and tactics. Moving now to Sativex, the medicine is already available through us in Spain, Germany, and Denmark. In addition, we have planned launches in 2012 to reach Sweden, Italy, Austria, and Czech Republic, which were part of the previous regulatory cycle. As you know, we have announced lately the positive outcome of a new wave of regulatory submission in 10 additional European countries. The product is therefore moving forward, becoming a pan-European option for the treatment of multiple sclerosis patients suffering of spasticity. We have announced as well the extension of our commercial rights to our affiliate in Mexico during this quarter. So, Let me now highlight Almirall's positive momentum at the start of this year. Our key filings are advancing as planned. A key event in the quarter was the FDA's advisory committee positive voting in February, already commented by Bertil. With Aclidinium, we have recently announced another major step in our partnership strategy, completing agreements in Europe and Korea. Up to now, Aclidinium is partnered in geographies which represents more than 80% of the current COPD sales. Continuing with the good tone in our product filings, we have announced a positive outcome of new regulatory wave with Sativex in further 10 European countries. And continuing with our tradition in business development, we have announced a co-promotion agreement with Bayer for Xarelto in Spain. So we are pleased with the way 2012 has begun. A solid quarter, and we reiterate our guidance for the year. Let me now pinpoint what's coming next and the intense calendar of news flows that we have ahead of us. The company is in a forward momentum coupled with an encouraging start of 2012. The latest agreements and the fact that the most relevant regulatory processes are on track make us feel prudently optimistic. In the next few months, we expect to provide high-weight news flow and materialize catalysts that will confirm the long-term potential of our unique opportunities. The regulatory feedback in the European Union, both for Aclidinium and Linaclotide, will be particularly relevant for us. We feel confident and excited about what 2012 can bring to our company. So with this, I pass to Jordi and to you for questions and answers.
So thank you very much to all of you. Jordi, back to you for Q&A, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Again, that's star and 1 if you wish to ask a question. Your first question comes from Eleanor Fung. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Eleanor Fung from Goldman Sachs. Two questions, please. Firstly, on SG&A, can we expect this quarter to be a good represented baseline for the rest of the year? And do you plan to further increase your sales headcount over the rest of the year? And if so, roughly by how many? Secondly, it appears that your NNI for this quarter was substantially flattered by the tax credit that you mentioned. Could you provide further color on exactly how much this was and how we should think about the tax rate for the rest of the year, please? Thank you.
Hi, Eleanor. This is Daniel Martinez speaking. Regarding the sales and G&A, as I was anticipating, on an absolute figure, most probably sales and G&A will be increasing because we are, as we said, we are preparing the launches of Aclidinium and Linaclotide, and therefore we need to put all the investment in the commercial area, which means the expansion of the affiliates together with the increase of the sales force in certain geographies. So obviously, yes, it's true that during the second part of the year, the sales headcount will be increased, because we need to reinforce our affiliates in the main geographies. I think that we have not disclosed how many people we will be recruiting in all geographies, but obviously this will be the network in the sales enough to promote, to successfully promote the both launches. About the tax credits, it's quite complex how this works in Spain, but normally this is due to the very complex calculation based on the last 2 years of the R&D investments. And as you most probably know, during 2011 and 2012, we have had a very intensive R&D investment. Therefore, it means that we have a lot of tax credits to be booked in our P&L in the next for all the 2012. So what you may expect is a similar trend throughout all the year regarding the effective tax rate, and this is also part of our guidance.
Great, thank you.
Your next question comes from Joe Wharton. Please ask your question.
A few questions, please. Linaclotide, are you on track for around about a September EU decision? You say that you think you might get a CHMP recommendation in June for a clearer. Can you remind us what Aclidinium data you may be able to show at ATS? And you have told us that you've got a positive CHMP decision for LAS 41002. Can you give us an idea of the timeline and sales potential for that product? And finally, can you just explain why we had so much revenue for Eclira or Aclidinium in the first quarter? Is this sales of a product to Forest for pipeline filling? And what would the trajectory be like? Is this like a one time and then we just wait and perhaps it's not until next year that we see more revenues from that product?
Well, if I should go first, this is Bertin. Hi, Joe. I think we're on track with the linaclotide, and we haven't commented the exact date, but obviously second half of 2012, we believe that we'll receive the CHMP opinion. The academium data for ERS, I think we'll see both different cuts of the mono data that we have exposed to some extent before, but we'll also see some data on nighttime symptoms and early morning symptoms and the full day efficacy of the Eclira and quality of life. When it comes to 4102 sales, I don't think we have commented on that in the previous, and we probably will not. But it's a good series of topical anti-inflammatory medicines with both ointment, cream, and a very innovative emulsion that we have in this series. And I probably forgot about your Eclira question. Could you please repeat that one?
You had a lot of revenue in the first quarter from Eclira, yet the drug isn't on the market. So could you tell us what that revenue was? Because in the sales line, is it pipeline filling to Forest? And what would the what should we expect that revenue line to look like for the rest of the year?
Hello, Joe. It's Luciano here. How are you? Well, you have covered most of the things in the presentation. So regarding the Eclira, yes, we are being selling to Forest because, as you know, Forest has announced that they will be launching and selling the product towards the end of the year. And therefore, to do that, they need to buy from us raw material and devices and so on in order to assemble them and prepare for the launch. So obviously we are not disclosing individual products expectations at any time, but I think that based upon the expectations of Forest, we should expect some more revenue along the year during this in this very important line for the future for us.
Thank you.
Joe, it's Steve Lewington here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Joe, just to add to what Bertil mentioned about ERS, we're going to have, I think, 8 abstracts focusing on the BID data with Aclidinium. And also we're going to be having a company-sponsored symposium. I think it's on the Monday evening. Sorry, did you say ATS or ERS?
I said ATS, but I'll take both.
Okay, ATS, I think we have 4 abstracts being presented at ATS. Again, it's the BID data. Also, just to mention, you're probably aware that our pivotal studies, the 2 main pivotal studies have both been published now. Attain was published a couple of months ago in COPD Journal, Acclaim was published in ERJ and Accord was published in the COPD Journal. So both of our pivotal studies are now, full manuscripts are published, and ERS will have quite a large presence, as you can imagine.
Thank you.
Okay. Your next question comes from Jamie Clark. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning. I just had a question, please, on the European deal you signed with Menarini. Can you just give us some more clarity on how that deal will work regarding the booking of revenues, sales force efforts in various countries, etc.? Thanks.
Unfortunately, as you know, we cannot disclose the deals of the terms of the deal with Menarini more than what we have already disclosed in the communication note. Obviously, this is an agreement that covers certain territories, not all Europe. In some countries, it's a co-branding agreement. In some others, it's a co-marketing agreement. And Menarini has certain exclusive territories, particularly in Eastern Europe, where we have the right to enter eventually if we decide to do so. But we have not disclosed, the details of it.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Edward Dillock. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi, good morning. A couple questions, please. First one with respect to the batch sales for Erclear to Forest. Just trying to understand the profitability around the earnings contribution, specifically in the quarter, if you can just give us some color on that. And then secondly, I believe you said that these sales would continue in the remaining quarter. So can you just confirm that? And can you just give us a sense of order of magnitude, if it would be similar, if there should be, we should expect a high degree of variability? And then in light of that, is this, was this included in your original 2012 guidance, particularly on sales? Just trying to understand if this is a new development, if this was baked into your original guidance. And then secondly, obviously we have approval of, I guess you could say, a third round of Spanish reforms. I understand the finite details are not available, so I'm just trying to understand if there's any way you can help us think through the impact to potentially 2012 and 2013, and then if you could square that with your guidance that you reiterated, is it factoring in any kind of incremental contribution from those reforms? Thanks.
Hi, Edward. Good morning. This is Daniel speaking. About the profitability of Erclear, obviously, we are not disclosing the profitability by product, but as this is a known product, you may expect that this follows the standard profitabilities of the own product, which is normally around between 70-80% of the gross margin. And obviously, about the, as Luciano said, this is these sales of Erclear to Forest will continue throughout the year as well as in 2013. We are not disclosing SPM targets or guidance by products, but you may expect a very similar trend in the next coming quarters. About the Spanish healthcare reforms, what I can tell you is that still the government is working on certain list of products, etc. But what we can confirm, and this is why we are reiterating the guidance, is that the impact that this may have in our 2012 and 2013 is not meaningful. Therefore, this is why we are reiterating the guidance. And about these Erclear sales, yes, they were included in our guidance because we already knew that we should start to produce and to sell Erclear to Forest. I hope this helps you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ram Narayanan. Please ask your question.
Hi there. This is Ram from Citigroup. Most of my questions have been answered. I just had one follow-up, which is, Given the first quarter sales beat, sizable sales beat, I just wanted you to comment on whether your 2011 sales guidance or 2012 sales guidance is still conservative, and whether you expect how do you expect the remaining quarters to pan out? Thanks.
So we are reiterating the sales and the bottom line guidance for 2012. And remember that obviously there is a phasing effect, and therefore the curve will be not regular because, for example, this quarter we had the effect of the Easter. So, but you may expect, so by quarter we are never disclosing any guidance, both top or bottom line. And again, remember that the first half of 2012 is not comparable with 2011, and therefore we may have certain variances during the quarters. But again, the guidance is reiterated, and therefore you may expect on the top line a variation during the next coming quarters.
Your next question comes from Luca Orsini. Please ask your question.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello, it's actually Maura Garbera on the phone. I've got a couple of questions. The first one is just going back to your guidance. You are referring to bottom line decline less than 28%, which was the decline of last year. But can you maybe tell us what tax rate you are working on? That's for the full year. And secondly, Spain has been through different healthcare reforms. So I was wondering if you can share more light on the impact of the last healthcare reform that has been announced in the first month of years, and what sort of impact this is going to have on top of the healthcare reform approved in October. Thank you.
Hi. About the effective tax rate, this is something that we were including in our guidance because we knew that because of the huge investment of R&D in 2011, it was expected to release certain tax credits for 2012. And what you may expect in the next quarters, but for the full year, is a very similar effective tax rate than in Q1.
Hello, it's Luciano here. How are you? Regarding the reforms in Spain, please bear in mind that first the regulation to apply the reforms is not yet fully developed by the government, so we don't have full transparency about the overall particularities of each one of the components of the reform. However, based upon our understanding of how it is today and what do we think is going to be the application of the regulation, we believe that inside our guidance we can absorb the impact of these measures in our P&L. So obviously this means that we reiterate our guidance and that we do not intend to change it based upon the fact that this regulation has been modified by the Spanish government lately. But obviously we will know more when the final regulation is fully published.
And sorry, just to follow up, do you already know the timetable for the full publication and the full details?
You know, as this is a negotiation of the government with the parties and the parliament and so it's not possible to give you a very specific timeline. So obviously, the government is interested in applying it as fast as possible, but there are some particularities and also the parliamentary process and so that requires certain timelines. And therefore, it's for us not possible to anticipate how long it will take. Obviously, they will try to do it as fast as possible.
Okay. And then last question, if I may. Can you maybe tell us the reason why Prevencor sales were down by 13% this quarter? Is it a question of pricing or...
Not detail the Prevencor sales this quarter, actually, because it's not among the top products anymore. Due to the, you know, the price cuts and the substitution and so on, so that we have undertaken, you have to remember the product has had almost a 65-70% price cut last year among the different events that happened in the successive reforms undertaken by the different governments in Spain, and therefore the product is not anymore in our top products.
So well, it's just because, I mean, it is still a good portion of your top line. Just to give you an extent, I mean, you reported nearly 27 million sales in Prevencor out of a total 200 million. So, and considering the price cut of last year, you still managed to have a pretty good level of sales in 2011 in Prevencor. So,
I think you are mixing it up with Avastel.
Oh yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
You were talking about Prevencor, and you know, therefore we were a little bit puzzled.
Yeah, so sure, you're right.
In the particular case of Avastel, this is due also to the fact that last year reforms in Spain, you know, have an impact this year, which is stronger, but let's say the sales so far are going fine in the rest of the world. So with the exception of Japan, but we also have a price cut. So I think that these are the two main reasons for us to have this evolution that we expect we will be able to compensate somehow during the second quarter of this year.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Joe Wharton. Please ask your question.
I apologize, I may have missed this right at the beginning. I was a little late on the call. Can you explain why Almagran had such strong sales in the first quarter? I was expecting it to be much closer to the two weaker quarters in the last half of last year as an ongoing rate. So is this sustainable, or is this effectively one-off bulk sales to a partner?
No.
And can you also please give us a little bit more color on the early adoption of Sativex, and in particular tell us how your IQWiC negotiations are going. Obviously, you've launched it at whatever price you felt was right in Germany. How has that gone down, and is that price likely to be sustainable post any IQWiC conversations that you've had?
Okay, let me first give you clarity about the Almogran situation. Almogran, let's say, peak sales are actually due to the fact that the U.S. has placed an order in the first quarter of this year that, when we compare with previous year, was not there. So therefore, there is a high increase in the overall percentage of growth for the product. Regarding the status of Sativex in Germany, as you know, the IQWiC make public the report in April the 2nd, and in this report there is there was a particular situation because they claimed there was no added benefit because of formal reasons, because actually there was some misunderstanding in the question that the GBA requests to IQWiC and the answer they produce. And obviously, we are continuing to discuss with the GBA. We have submitted following the calendar that exists, you know, in the German new German ACMOC procedure. We submitted our written comments on April the 23rd, and then we will expect the response and the resolution of the GBA by the end of June. And afterwards, let's say in July, we could start price negotiations based upon the final, let's say, review of the GBA on the current value of the product. So let's say we will have a situation more or less by the end of July. Regarding the uptake of the product is evolving well. A little bit behind our initial expectations, but mainly due to the fact that we have been coincident with the launch of Vampira in Germany, which, as you know, Vampira was initially discarded by the EMEA, and then, let's say, the EMEA reappraised the product and then approved it in May last year, and we have, let's say, in our final estimations, our numbers, we have, disregarded Vampira when we launched Sativex because that was the information we have. But the product is evolving well. We have significant sales, and we expect it to continue to evolve positively towards the end of the year. So we see positive evolution in Germany of the product, and we expect, as we said before, to introduce the product in several territories before the end of the year. In Spain, we have the product was cataloged as hospital product, and therefore we have a further market access barrier that we are beating as we speak, and obviously this delay the uptake of the product for more or less 1 year.
And can I also ask any timing for the phase 3 results for LAS 41007? On clinicaltrials.gov it says the results should be due in March 2012, but that it's still recruiting.
No, we have finished recruiting, so it's not entirely updated. We are in the process of analyzing the data, and we haven't given the time point when we'll publicize these, but we'll do it according to all editorial and other rules, presumably second half of 2012.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Anna Gonzalez. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, good morning. Most of my questions have been already answered, but I have two of them remaining, which would be regarding the R&D expense for this quarter. Would it be a good representative for the whole of the year, or would it increase by the end of the year? And besides the other income, the revenues that you received from the co-development related to Eclira and its combinations, you just received like around 12 million euros in this first quarter. Would that be a good representative, or should be increasing in the following quarters? Thank you.
Hi, Anna. Good morning. This is Daniel speaking. So
sorry, about other income. The other income will be higher at year end, but we are never detailing or disclosing the split of the other income. So therefore, you may expect a high number at year end. And regarding R&D, the phasing out of the year will be quite variable, but you may expect at year end a quite similar absolute figure in 2012 than in 2011.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, so thank you very much to all participants. Thank you for your interest in our company, and have a nice day. Thank you.